How are we doing this morning? I got two people awake. Huh? Cool. Isn't that cool? It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. It is. It is. Maybe look at the bulletin and see what the sermon title was today. I forgot. That's why I was asking. No. Keeper of the Lost in Time. You know, I've been studying a little bit, and I don't study near enough. I should study more, but I've been studying a little bit on the cross and what Christ did for us there and the price that He paid and all the blessings that we receive from that. And that's pretty humbling. And I was looking at another story that I guess I wanted to share with you today. And we need to go to the Lord in prayer and see what He has to tell us this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We thank You, Father. We praise You for such an awesome worship time You give us that we can just praise and just lift our hearts and our voices to You in thanksgiving to the God of the universe. And Father, we just ask that Your hand would be upon me, that Your hand would be upon this church, and my mouth would be speaking the words that You want spoken, and Father, it would be received on open hearts. We could apply it to our lives, and we could just love You more. Father, because that's what we're here for. And we just praise You, Father, just to learn more about You. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious gift that You bestowed upon us, Father, we thank You. Amen. You ever think about the cross? Wow. You know, as individuals, as people, you ever been on an 8-lane highway and it's packed and all you hear is horns blowing and people hollering? It's just a madhouse. You know, that's what we were in. That's what our life was like as people. And God had to step in. He had to make a way for us to get to Him. From Genesis, when it first started, when Adam and Eve sinned, God has been bringing us back. He was working on a plan the whole way through. He never stopped. It's a plan. He's working His plan that I can stand before Him today in love as a son, and you as daughters, sons and daughters, in His presence. Isn't that cool? Then I get you excited. Huh? Doesn't that just get you a little excited? I'm like, woo-wee! Huh? I am a child of the Almighty God. What? He don't know how bad I am. He obviously, He don't know. There's no way I can be a child of the Almighty God. He doesn't know how bad I am, right? It's not that He doesn't care. It's that because I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He sees His Son. Isn't that awesome? And then I'm looking at stuff, and you know how you're looking at stuff. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15. It's a lot of stuff. You ever make notes when you're doing preaching and you don't hit all the high points you really want to hit? When you're done and you're at the end, you go home and think, man, I should have said that. Well, sometimes I think we should throw the notes away and just let God do His thing, right? Amen. That's where it's at. And Luke, we're in the book of Luke chapter 15, and you probably know, maybe some of you know what this chapter is all about, but Luke 14, Jesus is teaching His disciples. He's teaching them things about all different things. He's just talking to them about different things and servants and kings, all this stuff. He's talking to His disciples, and He's teaching His disciples. In chapter 14, He's teaching His disciples. And we come to chapter 15, and we come to the beginning of this chapter, and it says, now the tax collectors... And the Amplified says, the notorious and especially wicked. I just like that. I like especially. I just like saying it. Just that notorious and especially wicked sinners were all coming near to Jesus to listen to Him. So all these sinners, all these tax collectors are sinners. All these people. And look at verse 2. It says, and the Pharisees and the scribe kept muttering and indignantly complaining, saying, this man accepts and receives and welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. And he eats with them. Huh? Amen. We're talking a little bit about Sunday school. When we get together and eat a little bit around the table, kind of a neat thing. He eats with them. And these Pharisees, these scribes, these teachers of the law, these Christians, in today's terminology, these Christians were complaining that all these sinners were coming to Jesus, and He was eating with them. He was talking with them. Why were they coming? You think the Pharisees were jealous because they weren't coming to hear them? I wonder about that sometimes. I do. I wonder about that sometimes. And Jesus just loved people. He loved them for who they was. They didn't have to be special. They didn't have to be anything they weren't. They didn't have to put on a mask in front of them. How many of us put a mask on when we come to church? Saturday night, shower night, right? Smell good for church, right? Huh? Right? Saturday night is shower, right? We can smell good for church. You know what I mean? We all got this stuff, these masks, these things we hide behind, try to protect ourselves with. We don't want to let people in. Jesus just, he just loved them. He just loved them. And the Pharisees are murmuring about it. I almost called Matt Wiseman this week because I needed some sheep whisperer knowledge. And then the Wiseman family are sheep whisperers, is that correct? I've heard that. There's rumor around the county that that is true, okay? So the first thing we're going to look at, this is a parable. Jesus is, you know, he knows they're murmuring, they're complaining, he's talking to these sinners, and he goes into this little thing. It says, verse 3, so he told them this parable. Do you catch that? It doesn't say he's going to tell them three parables, it says he's going to tell them a parable. And I want you to remember that, because this kind of ties in. In verse 4, what man of you, if he has 100 sheep, has 100 sheep, and should lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? How important, if you had 100 sheep, if you had 100 sheep, Matt, and you lost one, would it really upset you too bad? Especially if it was a dumb one that was always getting out. It was that stupid one, that dumb sheep. He's always out. I always got to go get that dumb. He's the dumb one. He's the dumb sheep, right? And he's the one that gets out, right? I'm just thinking, you know, as a sheep, what would you do? You go, good riddance, right? I mean, we think that. I'm thinking that myself. And as we go through this little thing here, we'll talk a little more. Okay, so you got 100 sheep, 100 sheep, one of them disappears. So he leaves the 100 sheep in the wilderness. It doesn't say they're in a safe, secluded place. It says he leaves them in the wilderness and he goes to find that one that's lost. Huh? He's the seeker of the lost and found. This shepherd is a seeker of the lost. So he goes to look for him. Verse 5. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. This is a stupid sheep. This is a stupid sheep. This is the dumb one. Would you pick him up, put him on his shoulder? Yes, I found my sheep! Woo-hoo-hoo. Was that what you'd do? You'd probably put him on the road and say, pull it, right? That's what you'd do. He's a stupid sheep. So right away, we're looking, this shepherd, this is a little over the top, right? It's a little over the top. He's putting him on, and he's rejoicing. Wow. And listen to this, verse 6. And when he gets home, he summons together his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my sheep, which is lost. Thus I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one especially wicked person who repents, changes his mind, than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. When I read this, when he gets home and summons his friends, I'm thinking, what's for supper? Okay, I'm thinking, what's for supper? This stupid sheep that I chase all the time? Yeah, we're having lamb for supper. Wouldn't you think that? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking when I read, I'm thinking, supper tonight. Lamb on a spit. Yeah. That's what you think, right? It says in verse 7, it says, Jesus tells him, he says, you know what? There's joy in heaven. We have praise and worship. And that's very enjoyable, right? I don't enjoy it a lot. You can't tell that, right? I don't enjoy it a lot. It's so cool. And I'm thinking, okay, God of creation, the God of the universe, gets excited. Yes! Yes! And the angel's like, yeah, baby! Yeah! Huh? Can you imagine that? When one lost sheep is found? Can you imagine what that's like in heaven? There's rejoicing! I can't imagine it. And I thought, wow. So 100 sheep, one gets lost. Okay, let's go on. This is all one parable. Verse 8. A well woman having 10 drachmas. Drachmas is probably roughly a day's wages. Okay. Has 10 drachmas. If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and look carefully and diligently until she finds it. You got 10 coins. 10 coins. One comes up missing. So you're going to look for it. Well, in this time, this 10 coins was probably on a necklace. Ladies, it's like a gift. It would be a wedding present. It would be almost like a wedding ring. So if you lost that, would that be kind of have some emotional attachment? You want to find that, right? Unless you throw it at your husband, right? Don't raise your hand. Look right up here. Don't even think. If you lost that, you'd want to find it, right? You want to find it. That's just, she lost. She's got 10. She loses one. She's going to go find it. She turns on light. She's sweeping the house. She's looking, running back. Looking for that. Oh, went in the vacuum. You know what I mean? She's looking for that thing. Look at that. Let's go on. Verse 9. And when she has found it, she summons her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the silver coin which I had lost." Even so, I tell you, there is joy among and in the presence of the angels of God over one especially wicked person who repents. Wow. Wow. We got a stupid sheep. We got a lost coin. Two things are lost. Did you ever lose your keys? We've all been there. We've lost your keys. Are your keys any good to you at all when they're lost? They're worthless. The keys are lost. They're worthless. They're worth nothing. They're a lost key. They don't know. They're stupid. They're nothing. It's the same with us. When it's lost, we're not worth anything. But you know what? God is the keeper of the lost and found. Huh? Isn't that cool? You think, I'm lost. I'm doing all this stuff. God has bestowed so many gifts upon you. I see some pretty talented musicians out there. They're not Christians. But they're pretty talented. You see them do some pretty amazing things. I see some pretty amazing singers. They're not Christians. They're doing amazing things. They have a talent. But they're lost. And the best explanation of being lost is being without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wow. Lost. So we have 100 things, one lost. 10 things, one lost. What are you coming to next? Everybody knows this story. Everybody has heard this story preached 1,000 times in church. Anybody hear of the prodigal son? You all heard that? Where'd that prodigal word come from? It's not in there. I read the whole chapter several times. There's nothing in there about a prodigal. So I thought, okay, what's prodigal mean? Prodigal means to wastefully or recklessly to be recklessly extravagant in spending resources or money. Just blow it. Just blow it. Huh? I almost titled today's sermon, The Prodigal Son, The Prodigal Father. Because God has a vast storehouse of immense things that He wants to bestow upon you. And He just lavishes it. Huh? He lavishes, and He doesn't, He just lavishes it on us. Huh? I'm breathing air today. Isn't that something? I can actually breathe. That's cool, right? God gave me a gift of breath, of life. I got blood pumping through my veins. Stuff's working. I'm crazy as a lunatic. Huh? It's working, right? God's working. And I think, So, God spends His time looking for lost things. You ever realize that? I wonder, a sheep is stupid. We've pretty much assumed that. They have no thought process as far as, you know what? I think I might go back home. It's better there. You know what I'm saying? The coin has no thought process. It's lost. It's laying somewhere in a corner someplace. Somewhere. It has no thought process. It's like, I'm going to go back where I liked it on that necklace. I liked it there. It was nice. No thought process. And here we come to... Remember, this is all one parable. Jesus tells them a parable. We're talking about the lost sheep, lost coins. And then we come to this, verse 11. And he said, there was a certain man who had two sons. You never hear too much about the older son, do you? I've heard this sermon preached on this many times, always about what that younger son did. We got to come to, I want to bring us to your realization of this. When Christ was telling this parable, the older son was the Pharisees. Get this in your mind. The older son was the Pharisees and the scribes. The younger son were all them tax collectors and especially wicked people, right? And the father is God Himself. Huh? But listen to this. Keep this in mind when we read this. Let's go through this. Verse 12. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the part of property that falls to me and divide the estate between them." And he divided the estate between them. There's not much to that verse, right? Young son comes to his dad and says, you know what, give me all that's mine. You know, in that situation, it would be almost like coming to your dad and saying, you know what, I wish you were dead. I just want what you've got for me. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You ever been? I was in a situation once where family members were heated discussion. I'll dance on your grave! Whoa. 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 Yeah, it's like, whoa. Out the door you go. Huh? Wow. This is what this younger son is saying to his father. He's saying, you know what, Dad? I wish you were dead already and I just had what you had to give to me. That's pretty cold, isn't it? Aren't we the same way? We want what God has to give for us. We want all the good stuff God has to give to us. We want all the good stuff. We want the money. We want the Mercedes. We want the big car. We want the stuff. But when troubles come, we don't want that. I'm going to pass on that one. We'll go for the next one. What's behind door number three? You know what I'm saying? That's what we do as Christians. So this younger son has no respect for his father in any way, shape, or form. Says, you know what? I wish you were just dead. Give me my stuff. Now, any respectable father would have probably... Right? Right? Any respect... No. What's this guy do? So he divides his stuff. Wow. He divides it. Verse 13. And not many days after that, the younger son gathers up all that he had and journeyed into a distant country, and there he wasted his fortune reckless and loose from restraint living. That's where we get our word. That's where we get our word prodigal. He just blew it. He had all this money and stuff, and he just blew it. He blew it. Doesn't say what he blew it on, but he blew it. Reckless living. Verse 14. When he had spent all he had, and the Amplified says, a mighty famine came upon that country and he began to fall behind and be in want. Basically, he spent all his money, had nothing left, and a famine comes. We as 21st century people have never really experienced that famine. I mean, we get hungry, what do? We go down to the grocery store. Walmart's down the road. Kroger's. You know what I mean? We go down and buy something, right? You're hungry? Or we stop at McDonald's and get a fast little thing. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. Didn't have any of that here. So he gets to the point where there is nothing to eat. It's in verse 15, so he went and forced himself. In this, the Greek word here is he glued himself to somebody. You ever have somebody want to spend time with you? He's like, and you can't get rid of them? Huh? Moms know that. Kids like, get away. You know what I mean? They're like right on your hip. You know what I'm saying? That's what this guy did. He says, you know, I'm starving to death. And he's starving. So he glues himself to a citizen of the country who sent him into his fields to feed hogs. Probably the lowest, most degrading job, period. Bar none, period. That's the lowest job. I'm trying to think of a job today. I don't know, it's died maybe.
Could be.
That's still there. Of a job today, what would be the most degrading job you could think of? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Garbage man, they got pretty good. You know what I'm saying? You drive around a big truck, throw stuff in that. I mean, it's not a bad job. Smell maybe a little bit. What's a bad job? I couldn't think of a job that I'd say, you know what? What would be the lowest job? If somebody has that job, you go, we don't have a job like that, do we? That's the way this people looked at this. This hog, feeding hogs was the lowest. In verse 16, and he would gladly have fed on the carob pods. These carob pods are more suitable for hogs eating than humans. Okay? They're not very good. They're dried carob pods. And were eating, but he couldn't satisfy. It says he would have filled his belly with the carob pods that the hogs were eating, but they would not satisfy him. And nobody gave him anything better. You know, if he would have ate the carob pods, he could have been killed for it, because the hogs were more important than he was. This guy's in pretty bad shape, isn't he? I mean, he's down at the bottom. You ever meet a Christian that's down? Or no, not a Christian. You ever meet someone that's at the bottom? They've come as far down as they can go. And the only place to look is up. You ever know anybody like that? I have. Have you ever prayed that for a family member? That God would get them to a point that they would understand that they need to look up? Ever been there? That's a hard prayer to pray because you don't know what's going to take to get a person to that point. I was talking to Julie last week and she said she was, you know, she gets pretty excited around the Thanksgiving table, Thanksgiving, praying and stuff. She doesn't understand why they don't have the excitement she has, but I get that. Because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I get that. And that's a hard place to be. Been there, done that. Let's go on. Verse 17. Then when he came to himself, he came to himself. How many hired servants of my father have enough food to even spare, but I'm perishing here of hunger? He's thinking about this. You ever think about this? This is kind of that repentance state. This is a place when a person gets to that point and they can go no further and like, God help! That's where they're at. They've come to that point where there's nowhere to go. And they're going to die. Like, God help. This is a repentance state. What's he going to say here? He says, I'll get up, go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against you and heaven in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. So he's got a plan here, right? He's thinking, I think his mind is starting, when it says he comes to himself, I think he's starting to think logically. You know what I mean? As human beings, think, okay, he's thinking logically. Let's go on. Verse 20. So he got up, came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is kind of a verse that really hit me. This stuff. You know, the sheep we have to go after, the coin we have to go after. It doesn't look like the father's doing anything, does it, in this position? And we're looking at an unsaved person here. We're looking at that. And the father, it doesn't look like he's doing anything. But this famine comes on the land. He loses all his wealth. This famine comes upon the land. He ends up in the bottom feeding hogs. Can't even eat the hog food. I've never thought about eating hog food, but if I was that hungry, I guess maybe I would, but I've never thought about it. So he's getting all. So we see that God was actually pursuing him. We just couldn't see it, right? Couldn't see it. So then we come to this verse, and it says, well, he's a far way off. Now, almost picture this. Okay, you got the father at this house, and every day he goes way out. There's a little mountain out there, a little hill. I wonder if he's out there today. I don't see him. They didn't have binoculars at that time. He couldn't look miles away. He went out and looked. He said, I can't see him yet. Every day, he went out and looked for that boy. Every day. Every day. And what happens on the one day, he goes out. Oh, let's see him. He's coming. Yay! He runs to him. Right? He doesn't wait for the kid to come. He runs to him. That's God the Father. He's running to you and me. He ran to that cross. He ran to that cross so you and I could have repentance. We could stand before the Father and say, God, help me. And he's like, I love you, son. I love you. I love you, daughter. I love you. He stands there. He goes to him. What's he do? He says, he's moved with pity. He runs to him and kisses him. This isn't a little... You ever see that little kiss? You ever see the French? They go... What is that? Really? I mean, come on. What's that mean? You got to kiss my ear? What? I mean, what's that mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah. But anyway, stay on track. He doesn't just give him, he lavishes. The Greek on this says that he just lavishes kisses on this boy. He lavishes them. And I thought, what's an example of that? You know, movies today, there's just, it's not really good kiss scenes. I'm sorry. So you go back about 50 years, and you look at these, and they just, like, that's what he was doing. He was just showering this boy with kisses. Because he was so happy, he was so glad that he had returned and came back. And we've seen that. God in heaven says the angels rejoice in heaven. This is what they're talking about. When someone comes back and God goes, yes! And the angels are like, yes! I can't imagine when God gets excited that nobody else is going to get excited. Huh? When the creator of the universe gets excited, I'm guessing that's a party. Huh? I'm guessing that's a party, right? I'm guessing that's excitement, right? Verse 22. Verse 21, I'm sorry. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So he gets that out. But what's the other thing? He was going to tell him he wanted to become a hired slave, right? Remember that? We read that before. What's the father do? He doesn't even let him finish. God the Father says, but the father said to his bondservant, listen to this. I like this. The father said to his bondservant, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. What is that? What is that? You know, this best robe was reserved for the honored guest. You know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you put on that robe of an honored guest. Huh? That honored guest robe that covers you from head to foot, and God looks at you and goes, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my child. Isn't that cool? You put on that best robe. And what's he do? He put a ring on his finger. What does that mean? He's family. Back then, they didn't have what we have today, printers and copiers and emails and faxes and Facebooks and all that stupidity. They had, when they did a document, they sealed it and they had a signet ring. They put a dab of wax on that and they put that ring seal. That meant that the family, whatever that binding contract was binding. He was a family member. The father put him back in the family. Isn't that cool? And what about these sandals? I don't know, anybody got sandals on this morning? I've never worn sandals in my life, so I can't say. But sandals was only worn by family. Servants and slaves didn't wear sandals back then. Didn't wear shoes. This the father is saying, you know what? He is my son, and there's nothing that's going to take him away. He is my son, and this is going to signify. He's got that robe on. He's got the ring on. He's got the sandals on. He is a child of the Almighty God. Huh? Yeah. Let's go on. And it says, and bring out that big old fat calf. They got rid of that stupid sheep. They got a wheat fattened calf and kill it and let us rejoice and feast and make merry. Woohoo! Party! Huh? Yeah. This wheat fatted calf was only kept for several occasions. Sacrifice and an awesome, majestic party. Awesome! Two things. So that's what this is. It's a majestic party. They're having a party. And what's he saying in verse 24? Because this my son was dead and alive, is alive again. He was lost and is found and began to make merry. He's saying, the father's saying, you know what? It's such a happy... I can't understand... I can't grasp it in my mind how much of an awesome party in heaven that is. I just can't grasp it. There's no word. I can't. It, you know, you've been all seen parties and been to parties and I don't. This is pretty awesome. God the Father, the creator of the universe, has a party when one sinner repents. Huh? Wow. Let's go on. Here we come. This younger son, who's that younger son supposed to be like? Sinners, especially wicked tax collectors, yeah. Now we come to the older son. Who's the older son supposed to be like? He's the Pharisee and the scribes. He's the righteous religious sect. You ever see somebody act like that? It's like, take the wind out of your sails, yeah. You ever see anybody act like that? Yeah, we all have. Better than you. Holier than thou. Really? You're a sinner saved by grace just like me. You got nothing on me. Huh? I got nothing on you. The only thing we got is one thing in common. And that's all that matters. Amen. But his older son was in the field. He's there working. And as he returned and came near the house, he hears music and dancing. Party going on. Nobody invited me. Wah. And having called one of the servants to him, he began to ask what this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed that fatted calf because he has received him back safe and well. Huh? Now wouldn't you think the older brother, wouldn't you think the Pharisees would be a little bit more concerned about what's going on with people, that maybe they'd be drawn to God? Maybe they'd want to know a little bit more about it. Maybe they'd want to become more like them. No, they're just old snobs. You say that? That's snobs. I get snobs. I'm not really politically correct. we ascertained in Sunday school that I am kind of stupid, and I'm just dumb enough to read it and believe it. I'm stupid. I really am. I don't have any intelligence at all. But when I read it, I think, you know what? The guy that created the universe, that guy, he wrote this. So it's like, you know what? He probably knows what he's talking about. I'm just dumb enough to say, you know what? If he's big enough and smart enough to make this universe, I can probably read it and believe it, right? It's as simple as that. So, his older brother, verse 28, the older brother was angry and resolved not to go in. Then his father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, Look, these many years I've served you and have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me so much as a little kid that I might make merry and have a party with my friends. You know, something hit me in that verse. As Christians, we can be walking that walk. We can go to church every day, every Sunday. We can be doing all that stuff. That's what this older son was doing. He was doing everything he was told to do, right? But you know what? What got me at the end of that verse, he said, Father, you never gave me a kid that I could have a party with my friends. You know what? It didn't include the father in that, did it? Didn't include the father in that. You know what? He was in the same boat that the older son was in the same boat as the younger son. They're in the same boat. They both want to do what they want to do without father, without God in their life. They just want to have a good time, enjoy themselves. They wanted to have it without the father in their life. One and the same. Isn't that something? Verse 30. When this son of yours arrived and has devoured your estate with immoral women, you have killed for him the fatted calf. It doesn't say that. Everybody go to counseling? I'm the only one. Good. I'm the only one that's ever been counseled. Well, I'm going to give you some information on counseling. It's interesting when you go to counseling because they seem to think they know you already, and they don't. It's really interesting. You listen to them talk, and it's like, you know what? They ask you all these questions and all stuff. I won't tell you why I was in counseling. But the one thing that I've learned in all that is when someone is accusing you of something, pretty good chance they've done it. Really? What are you trying to... If someone is accusing you of something, pretty good chance they've done it. That's from a counselor who spent years in college learning. And that's the only thing I learned from counseling. But it was a good point because I look at this and I think, you know, this guy says, oh, he just went around with a bunch of women. That's all he was doing. Doesn't say that. Makes me wonder what he wanted to do, doesn't it? These religious, righteous, sanctimonious. That's a big word. I don't even know what it means. People that were judging these tax collectors and these sinners, these people that were coming to Jesus and saying, I know what I am. I know how dirty I am. But Jesus is like, you know, I love you. Come on, we'll talk. Let's talk. Come on, I'm the bread of life. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Huh? And I didn't have half the points. And look at that. Look at all these papers I got. Stuff I didn't even look at today. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 31, it says, and the father said to him, Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Remember when I told you about the prodigal father? He lavishes all this stuff upon us. You know, as a child of the Almighty God, you are lavished upon, blessed upon. Stuff that you've given, gifts you've been given, opportunities. You've got all this stuff. You're the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? You're the hands and feet of God. You're created in His image to walk on this earth and come up to people and say, you're especially wicked, sir. No. Like, brother, what's going on? Love you, man. What's happening? Huh? Is that what we do? We can't look down. This church is not a place for righteous fat cats. Church is a place for all those that are hurt. And that's what we are. That's what we need to be. We need to be open, our arms open to people that are hurting. And understanding, you know what? Only by the grace of God. That's me. Huh? You ever wonder about the decisions you make in your life? Where you are today? Huh? I seen a guy say one time, he said, why didn't I have a better witness? Why didn't Thanks, God, for not making me a heroin addict. Thanks a lot. Really? You know what I'm saying? But that's how we are. So I don't have a good witness. I got saved when I was 6 years old. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 6 years old. And I remember that. And I've done some bad things in my time. I've done some things that I'm ashamed of. I've done some things that I had to ask for forgiveness for. I've done some things that I still remember that I still feel bad about. You know what? When I come before the throne of God, I know He doesn't judge me. He's looking at me through the eyes of His Son. And He loves me no matter what I've done. And no matter what I'm going to do. Isn't that great? Isn't it great? No matter what I'm going to screw up next, He's still going to love me. Huh? Isn't it good to know? Isn't that good to know when I screw it up, He still loves me? Isn't it good to know when I screw it up, He's still working it for my good? God doesn't sit in there and go, oh, they're messing up bad. No! He's like, dude. You know, really? Really? He's concerned about you as far as what you're going to do next. He loves you. Yeah, He wants you to make the right choice. But when we don't make the right choice, you're not going to affect His plan. You know what? We're all here for a reason. Still alive today. Don't know why. Like, we've all been in situations where we probably shouldn't be here today, right? Should not be here alive today. Should not be able to do what we do today. Should not be here. But God has you here for a reason. There is a reason. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I wonder, why am I still here? You ever think that? Why am I still here? I don't know. But you know what? I enjoy reading my book. I enjoy reading the Word. I enjoy spending time with God. I enjoy talking to Him. And I enjoy talking to people about it. And I just enjoy it. I enjoy singing. I enjoy it. I have a good time. I have joy. I really enjoy it. I enjoy my life when it's bad. When it's bad. When it is bad. And I think, I don't want to do this no more. Huh? I don't want to do this no more. This is tough. This is hard. This is me. And it's almost like there's a joy and peace and calm. And God's like, I got it. And the neat part about it, when you're in all these calamities and problems and trials and troubles come upon you and all this stuff, and we read the Bible and says, count it all joy when you're in trial. No, I don't want to. I don't want to count it. I want to be miserable. You know people like that? I've been there before. We've all been there. Huh? And God's like, get it out of your system. Go on. Get it out of there. Okay, now we can work on it. And when you come to that point and you say, God, help. And He's like, why didn't you do that 3 days ago? Dummy. You stupid sheep. Huh? Huh? Verse 32. But it was fitting. This is the answer to the whole thing. The whole parable. They say it's three parables. It doesn't say that. It says, so He told them this parable. He tells one parable, ties to a lost sheep, a lost coin, and two lost sons. He said it was fitting. It was fitting. It was a good thing. It was what we should have done. It was what we had to do. It was the right thing to make merry and rejoice. For the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Why can't you Pharisees and scribes understand that I didn't come for you? I came for the lost. What He tells them. He said, I came for the lost. I came for the lost. I'm going to die on that cross for the lost. And I think the Pharisees were as lost as these people were. They just didn't see it with their own eyes. It was like the older son. Thought he was doing everything right. listening to the Father, following directions, doing everything he's supposed to do. And he was just as lost as the younger son. So as Christians, what do you do with that story? We've learned not to judge the older we get, right? The older we get, we learn not to judge. Because, you know, you always say, what, one finger pointing, three coming back? Last week I went through a green light. The light was red and I stopped sitting there. The light turned green and I turned left and this car skids and goes around me and these two people are flipping me off and cussing me out. They ran a red light. And I thought to myself, really? And I went like that out the window to them because I was like, be careful. Because I'm thinking, you know, they could have been killed. They ran a red light. If they'd hit my truck, they probably would have been in serious trouble. You know what I'm saying? That's a big truck. It don't move. And I thought to myself, isn't that just like me? God puts a red light out there and I go, blow right through it and go, what's the matter? Get out of the way, you idiot! Huh? Isn't that what we do? You know what we do? Instead of relying on God for the answer, something I want to tell you. The Lord just impressed upon me. You know the Lord answers your prayers in three ways. Yes, no, and slow. Huh? He does. When you pray for something, he answers your prayer. Yes, you get a yes. It's like, yes. We get a yes. We got a confirmation. Yes! And then sometimes we pray and it's no. That door smacks you right in the face. No. No. And then sometimes we're like, anytime, God. We're still waiting on you. Huh? Anytime. Huh? Have anybody ever been there? Just me? I'm the only one that's had to wait on a prayer like that. Wait and wait and wait and wait. And you think, he didn't hear me. Hey, God! Huh? But always know that God wants the best for you. You're in His thoughts all the time. You're on His mind every minute, every second of the day. Even when you are sleeping, you're on His mind. And He loves you. And He will seek you out. And He will find the one that's lost. And He will come running to you. Isn't that cool? And He loves you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before You. And I thank You, Father, that I thank You, You bring to mind everything that needs to be said. And I don't look at those notes, Father, because I studied and looked at it and it's in my mind and the Holy Spirit can bring it out and apply it to hearts and lives. And Father, that's what we're here for. We're here to share Your word and share Your love, share Your joy, and to share knowing You. Oh, Father, we just praise You and we thank You. Father, we're humbled by Your presence. We're humbled by Your love for us. We are humbled by all that You do for us in every way. Father, we just praise You and we thank You. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. As the praise team come forward, the elders want to come down. This is the time.